So our concluding shir is on Divrei Hayamim. And I have to say that up until this point, Divrei Hayamim was kind of one of those Sfarim that, like, you know, it gets referenced in other Sfarim. And everyone always says, oh yeah, it's just a repetition of everything you learned before. You don't need to learn it again. So I had never really looked into Divrei Hayamim until I was preparing for this year. So what is the point of Divrei Hayamim? If we believe that you should be learning through all of the Torah, why kind of have a recap book, which Divrei Hayamim seems to be, at the very end? If only at the end of each section, at the end of Torah, we had a recap of the whole Torah, we do have Sefer Devarim, but not in the same way. Like, Divrei Hayamim seems to literally copy and paste, which is one of the opinions that Ezra HaSofer did. The Gemara believes that Ezra HaSofer wrote Divrei Hayamim, but there is one opinion that he did not write it. He simply just took out the sections of Tanakh and placed them in here that he wanted to recap. However, there's another approach brought down by the Vayikra Rabbah that says that Divrei Hayamim, being at the very end of Tanakh, is our transition from Tanakh to Midrash. So it's the beginning of Rabbinic Midrash. And it says, therefore, Divrei Hayamim is written in a way that it itself should be sort of understood as a Midrashic text, meaning that we would look at it to add to what we had learned before. So a lot of times that is one of the techniques of a Midrash, is to rewrite a story with subtle changes. And from those subtle changes, we're able to learn from them. We had this idea in our Shir on Sefer Devarim that we talked about intertextual analysis, that we looked at in that Shir. We looked at the story of the Meraglim, of the spies, and how it was recorded in Sefer Bamidbar and how it was recorded in Sefer Devarim. So what we're going to do today is we're going to look at another story that's recorded in Shmuel Bet, but with slight nuanced changes, is repeated again in Divrei Hayamim. And that story is the one of David HaMelech and his inability to build the Beis HaMikdash. So we had in our shir on Chagai Zechariah Malachi, I'm trying to pull from all of our past shirim, from Chagai Zechariah Malachi, we talked about whose obligation is it to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. And we said, before we can even discuss whether Hashem will give us the Beis HaMikdash completely built, or whether it is our responsibility to build it, we said that there are a number of criteria that preempt the consideration about building the Beis HaMikdash. And one of these is that there must be peace in the land. As it says in Sefer Devarim, Va'avartem et hayardim v'yashavtem ba'aretz, asher Hashem Elokecha manchil etchem, v'hiniach lachem mikol oyvecha misaviv v'yashavtem batach. So one of the prerequisites for being able to even consider rebuilding the Mikdash is that there must be complete peace in the land. It says, once you have come to the land, you have inhabited it, you have conquered it, and there is peace from all the other nations, then, V'hayam akum asher yivchar Hashem Elokeichem bo l'shachin shmo sham, shama taviu et kol asher anochi matzaveichem, olotichem v'zivcheichem, So it says, at that point, when you are sitting in complete peace and serenity with the other nations, you are settled in the land, at that point you can build this place, this makom asher yivchar Hashem, this mikdash for me, into which you can bring all of the karbanot and all of your trumot and ma'asrot. Everything that we have talked about previously can only happen once there is peace in the land. So it says in Shmuel Bet, Rashi comments there, V'hiniach lachem l'achar kibush v'chiluk u'menucha min hagayim asher hiniach Hashem l'anasot ba'am at Yisrael. V'ein zo ela b'yimei David. So Rashi comments here and he says, what are the criteria for there being peace in the land? You must have conquered the land. You must have divided it up between all of the Shvatim. And it must just be a restful time. And Rashi himself states, this time didn't come until the time of David HaMelech. So it says in the beginning of Shmuel Bet, in Parak Zion, Vayhi ki yashav HaMelech bebito, v'Hashem hiniach lo misaviv mikol oyvav. And it says that in the days of David, David was dwelling in his home, and Hashem had given him respite from all of the other nations. So it seems like this is a peaceful time. Vayomer HaMelech el Natan HaNavi. So the king calls in Natan HaNavi, who was the personal Navi that reported to David, so he says, why is this appropriate that I, am sitting in a beautiful palace, while Hashem's Aaron is sitting in a makeshift tent. Ve'yomer Natan al Hamelach kol asher b'levavcha lich asei ki Hashem imach. And so Natan HaNavi immediately says, David, you're so right. You should be building the Beis HaMikdash. Go, you have permission. So the question is, why would Natan HaNavi allow David to do this? If we see that at the end of the story, David HaMelech is not allowed to build the Beis HaMikdash. So many suggest that Natan was not giving over words of Nevuah, as it doesn't use any of the customary words used when someone is giving over Nevuah. It doesn't say, these were the words of Hashem through Natan to David. It just says, and Natan answered. So what this calls us to consider is that everyone thought that this was an appropriate time to build the Beis HaMikdash. That when David said to Natan HaNavi, I want to build the Mikdash for Hashem, Natan said, of course, it seems like we're in such peace and serenity. We have complete respite from all of our neighbors. Of course, this seems like the time to build the Mikdash. So Rashi comments there, V'Hashem hiniach lo, amar harei nitkayim v'hiniach lachem michol eveichem. Rashi is saying David seemed to have fulfilled the criteria that they have peace from all the other nations. Mach tivachara v'haya makom asher yivchar Hashem, me'ata alinu livno beis habachira. That from this point, it seems like David did have an incumbent obligation to rebuild the Mikdash. However, it continues on in Parak Zion. Vehi balayla hahu, and it was at that night. Vehi dvar Hashem el Natan lemor. So after Natan gave his own approval to David HaMelech, and he said, sure, seems like a great time to build the Mikdash. Go ahead, do whatever you like. That very night, Hashem came to Natan HaNavi, and he said, Lech v'amarta el avdi el David, go speak to my servant David. Ko amar Hashem ha'ata tivneli bayit l'shivti. So he says, go ask my servant, are you now going to build me a Mikdash? Ki lo yashavti b'bayit l'miyom ha'aloti et b'nei Yisrael mimitzrayim v'ad hayom hazeh. So Hashem says, until this point, I have not had a permanent dwelling place. So Hashem says, I have asked, why until this point have Bnei Yisrael not built me a home? Why have they been, as you said, David, dwelling in a Beit Arazim, in a beautiful palace, while I am dwelling in, I have no permanent dwelling place. Vatako tomar l'avdi David, but he says, Natan HaNavi, while I have asked these questions of the people, please tell to my servant David, ko amar Hashem tzvakot, ani l'kachticha min haneveya me'achar hatzon liyot nagid al ami al Yisrael. I picked you up, David. I picked you up from being a mere shepherd to being the leader of all of Am Yisrael. V'haya imach b'chol asher halachta v'chirta koi v'cha mipanecha v'asita l'cha shem gadol k'shem hagdolim b'chol ha'aretz. And Hashem says, you may not like what I'm going to say, but David, I will continue to be with you. I will not abandon you. I will stay with you. V'haya Visamti makom la amili Yisrael unetati l'shachin tachtav v'lo yigraz od v'lo yosifu b'nei avila la avnoto kasher berishona ulemin hayom asher tiviti shvatim al ami Yisrael v'anchuti l'cha min ha'oivecha v'higid l'cha Hashem ki bay yasa l'cha Hashem ki malu yamecha v'shachafta al avotecha v'achimoti etzarecha al charecha asher yitzi me'imcha v'chinoti em amlachto. But Hashem slips in here and says, David, while I picked you up, I made you a leader over all of Am Yisrael, your children will be the ones to build my temple. Hashem doesn't say straight out that David will not build it, but he says, your children will be the one to build it for me, and I will be with them. Hu yivnei bayit l'shmi, your son will build a house for my name, v'achinoti et kisei mamlachto ad olam, and I will establish his kingdom forever. I will have this close connection with your offspring. I will be like a father to him. I will lift him up above all other people. And my chesed will not stray from him. So Hashem continues on and says, and assures David, that he has snuck in here, that David, you may think that now is the appropriate time to build the Beit HaMikdash, but I'm telling you, you will not be the one to build the Mikdash, even though Hashem does not say that explicitly here. But he says, your son will be the one to build my Mikdash, and I will be with him. I will stay with him. I will ensure that he will be successful, and I will ensure that his kingdom will last forever. So we know, and that is true, that Shlomo HaMelech is eventually the one to build the Beit HaMikdash. So Hashem doesn't give David a reason. He just says, your son will be the one to build the Mikdash for me. However, when this story is repeated in Divrei Hayamim, oh, and just to mention, on the source sheet, if anyone is looking along, it does say Divrei Hayamim Aleph and Divrei Hayamim Bet. Again, these were Christian divisions. It really is one unified book, so I will just be referring to it as Divrei Hayamim, even though technically it is divided up into two books. So it says in Divrei Hayamim, almost the exact same story. But there are, of course, slight differences, which we will be analyzing. So again, it retells the story that David calls in Natan HaNavi and says, how could it be that I am dwelling in a beautiful palace while the Aron of Hashem is dwelling in a tent? So Natan HaNavi again says, do what you please, Hashem will be with you. Vayhi balayla hahu, vayhi dvar Hashem, el Natan lemor, lich v'amarta al David avdi, ko amar Hashem, lo ata tivne li bayit lashevet. So this is our main difference between the two stories, that it says again that that night Hashem appeared to Natan HaNavi, and he said to Natan, go tell David, you will not be the one to build my Beit HaMikdash. We don't need to gather it based on the rest of what Hashem says. Hashem says it explicitly in Divrei Hayamim that Natan HaNavi should tell David that he will not be the one to build the Mikdash. And then it continues on, just as it does in Shmuel Bet, with all of the same words that Hashem will be with his son, he will stay with him, he will ensure that his kingdom will be eternal. But the difference is that in Divrei Hayamim, it explicitly says that David will not be the one to build the Mikdash. And then if we continue on in Divrei Hayamim, it gets even more interesting, because David HaMelech, at the end of his life, tells over this story again to his son Shlomo. So it says in the end of Divrei Hayamim, Vayikra l'Shlomo b'no, Vayetaveihu livno bayit Hashem Elokei Yisrael. So it says at the end of David's life, he calls in Shlomo and he commands him to build a Mikdash for Hashem. Vayomer David l'Shlomo b'no, and Shlomo says to his son, Ani haya im levavi livno bayit l'Hashem Elokai. He says to his son Shlomo, you know what? I really prepared my whole life. I was so excited to build a Mikdash for Hashem. Vayhi alai dvar Hashem lemor. Dam larov shafachta ulemelchamo gedolot asita lo tivne bayit l'shmi ki damim rabim shafachta arta lefanai. So David, interestingly, provides an explanation. He says to his son Shlomo, I was so excited. I prepared my entire life to build the Beit HaMikdash for Hashem. I was ready to do it. And I even called in the Navi and said I wanted to, but Hashem said I couldn't. And he says to Shlomo, I know why I couldn't build the Mikdash. And that was because, Dam larov shafachta, I spilled too much blood. What? Hashem gave us no indication of this. Hashem simply said, David, you will not be the one to build the Mikdash. Your son Shlomo will be the one to build the Mikdash. But David, so confidently here, says, I know why I can't. I know it's because I spilled too much blood. This reminds me, David is saying this with such certainty. When I was pregnant with my older son, I used to walk through Washington Heights when we were living there. And people used to come up to me and with 100% certainty, as if they had no question in the world, say, you know you're having a son, right? And I'd be like, well, I'm glad no doctor has told me, no medical advice, but I'm glad that you know with certainty. And it reminded me of that when I was reading this, that David doesn't say, I think the reason that I couldn't build the Mikdash, I might assume, he says, I know the reason that I can't build the Mikdash is because I spilled so much blood. So why is this? And again, in Divrei, and the end of Divrei Hayamim, farther along towards the end, David repeats again, Vayakam David HaMelech al raglav, Vayomer Shimuni Achai, Vaami Ani im Levavi, Livno, Beit Menucha la'aron Brit Hashem, Vahadom Raglai, Elokinu, Vahachinoti Livno. Velokim Amarli, Lo Tivne Bayat Lishmi, Ki Ish Melchamot Ata, Vidamim Shafachta. So interestingly, when David is now addressing the entire people at the end of his life, he says, Nation, please know that I wanted to build a Bisa Mikdash for Hashem. I did not think it was appropriate that I was dwelling in a palace while Hashem's Aron was dwelling in a tent. However, he says, but Hashem told me that I may not build the Mikdash because I was an Ish Milchamot, I was a man of war who spilled too much blood. So now he goes from not even saying that this is his opinion as to why he couldn't do it. He is saying with 100% certainty, he's even attributing this reason to Hashem. He's saying that Hashem told me that that's why I cannot do it. Even though we saw in both texts, in Shmuel Bet and in Divrei HaYamim, that this was not recorded, that that was what Hashem told to Natan HaNavi to give over to David. So why is this? Some of the Mefarshim do say that this was the reason that Hashem gave over, and it just wasn't recorded because it wasn't important for us to know. But that answer didn't really do it for me, because then why would it be recorded by David that Hashem said that to him? So I needed a better explanation. So there are two approaches. There's approach of the Radak. So why is this? He says, first we're just going to look at what would be so bad, assuming that is the reason, and then we're going to look at why David is so confident that that is the reason. So what would be so bad that David spilled so much blood? So the Radak says, Dam larov shafachta, ze lo matzinu sha'amru lo Hashem, aval David amar kein bilibo, ki mipnei ma mina uhu Hashem livnot habayit, O Natan HaNavi amar lo, kein va'afal pi shelo nechtav b'sefer Shmuel nimtza kamohu rabim. So it goes through and says, some people say that this wasn't actually recorded, but it was truly said. However, he asks the question, we ask them, why would it be recorded later on? Hayuhu hasiba kimosha amru hisiboti bechol nefesh beit avicha. Gam b'damei hagayim asher shafach oto shelo hayu b'nei melchamato afshar shahayu b'hem anashim tovim v'chasidim. So the Radak is saying, what would be so terrible? Why is David so sure that this is the reason that he can't build the Mikdash? Because even though all the killing that he did in war was for a purpose, you're allowed to kill in war, some innocent blood may have been mixed in, and someone who spilled innocent blood may not be the one to build the Beit HaMikdash. So we can't have this type of potential spilling of innocent blood be any sort of influence within the Mikdash. The Ralbag says, Kitamim rabim shafach ta'arta lefanai, yidmeh shelo haya ratun Hashem yiparach, שיבנהו דוד להיגלות לפניו, שעתילי חריב, ואולי יאמרו כי באבון דוד, שהרג נפשות רבות מהגיים, עשה השם יפרח כמו כן לבית הזה לישראל. So the Ralbag takes it a step further, that everyone kind of knew this about David. Everyone knew that David was a famous warrior. And David knows that this is the reason he can't build the Mikdash, because he knows that in the future the Beis HaMikdash will be destroyed. And if Bnei Yisrael know that the Beis HaMikdash was built by a warrior, someone that had killed in the past, they would ignore their own sins and they would attribute its destruction simply to the actions of David. So David knows, I, for whatever reason, am tainted by the killing that I was forced to do in war. And therefore, I can't be the one to build the Mikdash, or Bnei Yisrael will never do tshuva. That the destruction of the temple is meant to be a wake-up call to them, and if they have anything else to blame it on, they will not be introspective. They will not look into themselves. They will simply blame it on David. So, we see that there are reasons that it would make sense why someone who spilled blood could not build the Mikdash. But why was David so sure of that? And if David was so sure of it, why was it not written explicitly in the text? What David is doing is he is giving us a true insight into his personality. That David knows that he is at heart a shepherd, However, he also knows that in being brought into a public role, in being brought into the role of a leader, he was also turned into a warrior. And we see that throughout David's history, throughout the entire recorded story of David, David is this role of a reluctant warrior. It says in Sefer Devarim, when it's talking about the Ir Nidachat, it talks about someone who has to kill. Ki tishma ba'achad arecha, asher Hashem Elokecha natan lecha l'shevet sham l'mor. So this is talking about an Ir Nidachat. You hear that an entire nation is serving Avodah Zarah. Yitzu anashim b'nei Belial mikirbecha v'hidichu et yoshvei Yiram l'mor nalcha v'ne'avda lokim achirim asher lo yadatem. That there are outside influences that come into the town and they convince everybody to serve Avodah Zarah. V'darashta v'chakarta v'sha'alta hitiv v'hine emet nachon. And you find out that this truly happened, that the entire town is serving Avodah Zarah. Mine emet nachon adavar na'asta hatoiva zo bekirbecha. Hikei taket yoshvei ha'ir ha'hu lifnei charev hacharim oto v'kol asher ba v'et behem ta lifnei charev. V'kol shalala tikbut v'etoch rechova v'sarafta ba'isha ta'ir v'kol shalala kalil la'ashem elokacha v'hayta tal olam lo tivne'od. So it says you should completely destroy this town, you should get rid of it, you should eradicate everyone within it, and it should never be rebuilt. V'lo yidbak v'yadcha me'uma minacherem l'ma'lam yashuv ha'ashem echaron apo v'natam l'cha rachamim v'rechmecha v'herbecha ka'asher nishbata l'avotecha. However, after you do this, Hashem should return rachamim to you. What does this mean? That after you have destroyed this entire town, Hashem should return rachamim, should return mercy and pity to you. The Or HaChaim HaKadosh comments there, v'natam l'cha rachamim v'rachamecha. What does this statement mean, that Hashem will return rachamim to you? Kavanat ma'amar zeh kan lefi shetziveh al ha'ir hanidacha she'yarguhu kol ha'ir lefi charev. V'alfilu behem tam ma'aseh hazeh yulid teva ha'achsariya b'leiv ha'adam. So the Rachaim says that Hashem commanded you that when there is a town like this that has completely served Avodah Zarah, you must completely destroy it. You must destroy everyone within it, down to their animals. Everything should be destroyed. And an action like this could breed achzariyot, could breed cruelty within a person. Kimo shetzapru lo ha'yishma'ilim kat harotzim u'ma'amar ha'melech ki yesh lahem chishak gadol b'sha'a ha'aragim adam v'nechretam ehem shorash harachamim v'ayu la'asar. And it's possible that through doing this, someone could become an achzar, could become cruel, could become someone who is lacking in rachamim, in basic pity and human compassion. V'avachina atzma tiyye nishresha b'rotzchei ha'ir hanidachat lazeh amar lahem haftacha she'yitin lam Hashem rachamim. So the Or HaChaim says that this was a promise to them, that even though they are carrying out the word of Hashem, that they must destroy the nation, that they must destroy this entire town, Hashem is promising them, I will not allow you to become cruel through this. I will make sure that you maintain a level of compassion, a level of pity, of mercy on other human beings, so that you won't hesitate to carry out this commandment. So what this is teaching us, the Or HaChaim is saying, that a killer, no matter whether they are killing by the word of Hashem, someone who kills, it affects them. And it's saying that David was introspective. He knew this. He knew that while he was a reluctant warrior, he was someone who had never wanted to kill. He was happy being a shepherd. We see from the very beginning when he went out to fight Goliath, he did not intend to be the warrior in that story. He was chosen from among the nation to fight against Goliath. It was not in his intention. But he knew that in the end of the day, the actions that he was forced to carry out did affect him. We know the famous saying by Golda Meir that she says that when peace comes, we will perhaps in time be able to forgive the Arabs for killing our sons. But it will be harder for us to forgive them for forcing us to kill their sons. That Golda Meir gives over this message that killing changes a person. That when we're forced to destroy other people, that makes an impact on us. And David HaMelech knew this. He was sure of this. He knew that he had gone and had come a very far way from the innocent shepherd that he had been. And while he did remain, he never lost his conscience in the process. He may have made mistakes, but he had a high moral character. He owned up easily to his mistake with Bathsheba. He knew that he had so many challenges in his life, so many challenges that he had to overcome, so many battles he had to fight. He knew that it had affected him as a person. So when Hashem said that he was not able to build the Mikdash, it was clear as day to him that this was the reason why. And why is this? Why does he know that someone who is a killer may never be able to build the Beit HaMikdash? Because we see back in Sefer Shemot, when it talks about the rebuilding of the Mikdash, the initial building of the Mikdash, it says, V'im mizbeach avanim ta'aseli lo tivna aten gazit ki cherbecha hanafta alecha v'techaloleha. It says that when we build the Mizbeach to Hashem, we may not use any metal instruments to build it. Why is this? Rashi comments there. Because it says that through using metal, we will defile it. Halamadata, she'im hanafta aleha barzel chalalta, that if you use bronze to build the Mizbeach, you have defiled it. Shamizbeach nivra lacharecha yamav, shal adam, habarzel nivra lekatser yamav. So it says the Mizbeach was created to lengthen the days of people, while metal bronze instruments were created to cut down the days of a person. It says in the Mechilta, this rule that something that is meant to lengthen should never be used in conjunction with something that is meant to shorten. Ve'od shamizbeach matchil shalom bein Yisrael Laviem Shabbat Shamayim, Lefichach lo yavo alav koret umechabel, the harayd varim kal vachomer, uma avanim sheinan root o shamot velomedabro. Al yede shemetilot shalom, amra Torah lo tanif aleim barzel, hametil shalom bein ish leisho, bein mishpacha lemishpacha, bein adam lechaviro, alacha kama vekama lo tavo poranu. So we learn a very important message here, that it says when they make the Mizbeach, you should make it out of stone, you should not use any barzel, you should not use any material that is also used to make weapons. Why is that? Because something that is meant to lengthen should not be used in conjunction with something that is meant to shorten. That the Mizbeach lengthened the days of the Jewish people, while barzel cuts down, destroys, it kills. So it brings us to Kal Vachomer here. It says, if we are so sensitive when it comes to stones and metal, that one that is used for weaponry should not also be used in something positive, it says how much more so when it comes to human beings. That the Beis HaMikdash, it makes the connection with David HaMelech. That the Beis HaMikdash was going to be a place of creating connection, of building a relationship, of creating peace and unity between the Jewish people. Then David HaMelech, who was even the slightest bit tainted by the killing, the fighting, the war that had happened in his past, he could not be the one to build the Mikdash. So David HaMelech is teaching us a very deep message by being so confident in the fact that he knew that he could not build the Beit HaMikdash because of the blood he had spilled. David HaMelech was an introspective person. He was a reluctant warrior. His whole life, he had kind of lived in this place of he was forced into a larger role, and thank God he owned up to it. He was extremely successful in this role. He brought peace to Am Yisrael. He accomplished so many great things, and we know that the Malchut of David is Chai V'Kayam. This is the kingship that we want to last forever. But he was introspective, and he knew where something was not his place. He knew he had been tainted by something. He had been tainted by something not necessarily within his control, and therefore he knew he could not even bring the tiniest imperfection into the Beis HaMikdash. And I think this is a lesson for us, that we can say that we must know our place, we must be introspective, we must know how outside influences impact us. And this is the message of David HaMelech, that he knew what had impacted him and how that impacted the role he was then able to have on the world. And this is just one example of how Divrei HaYamim can act as a subtle commentary to the original text. That in the original text, Hashem does not say to us that it's specifically not David. It says that Shlomo HaMelech will be the one to build it. So we could guess from there and say, it's not that that David HaMelech was not worthy, but rather Shlomo HaMelech was even more worthy. But Divrei Hayamim adds in this subtle one line in one pasuk that says explicitly that David HaMelech will not be the one to build the Mikdash, which adds the emphasis to that nature of it, that there's some reason David HaMelech can't build it. And from there, we are able to pull later on when David adds his own reasoning, and he adds it so confidently that he will not be able to build the Mikdash. And this is the beauty of the interplay between Divrei Hayamim and Shmuel Bet as just one of the examples. And there are many examples of this, that we learn here where the emphasis should be placed. That it's David HaMelech who specifically is not able to build the Mikdash, and so much that we are able to pull out from there. So I think that we can take from this message of David HaMelech to know our influences, know what's been impacting us, and use that to decide and determine our appropriate role in the world. What jobs and what places and what actions can we take in the world? And when do we have to acknowledge when we have been impacted by something? And how do we minimize those impacts if they're not something we like and we appreciate? So I think it's all of these ideas of knowing our place in the world that really can be gained from David HaMelech. And may we be zocha to take these messages, surround ourselves by influences that we are happy about, and use that to best find our place and support the world. So with that, I'll now, anyone who would like to unmute, we conclude our final shiur in the Tanakh B'Shanah Siyum, in the Tanakh B'Shanah series. It's a very emotional moment, I would say. I say that I cannot confidently make an actual hadron on this siyum, just because